If you looked at the Earth from far off in the solar system, would it look like it's run by humans or chickens? There are over 20 billion chickens on this planet. That's three times as many chickens as people. And while horses and dogs can be celebrated in song and hearts as humankind's partner in spreading civilization, a new book by Andrew Lawler argues it really is the chicken. Andrew Lawler is a contributing writer for Science Magazine. He's written widely about archaeology, politics, science, history, and now this new book, Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? Andrew Lawler joins us from member station KPBS in San Diego. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Scott. It's a pleasure.
Why do you call the chicken nature's Mr. Potato Head?
Well, the chicken is probably the most unusual domesticated animal that we have. You can turn the chicken into almost anything. You can have a tiny little bantam, or you could have a giant Rhode Island Red. The chicken is incredibly malleable, which is probably a good reason why we decided to domesticate it and use it for so many purposes.
But as I understand it in your book, it was not at first domesticated because anybody thought, gee, that looks good.
Yeah, in fact, for most of history, the chicken was not a cheap meal. Actually, some archaeologists believe that the chicken was domesticated for other purposes, namely cockfighting, and for religious purposes. And it's only later, really in the past century, that the chicken has been used to eat on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. It has been a religious icon of sorts, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I can't think of a creature that has more religious significance than the chicken.
Well, run that down first a little bit, if you could. Just on the offhand chance that people are listening who might be members of religious assemblies where the chicken is, it is more like they wind up on the church buffet.
Well, it's more like the chicken winds up on the church steeple. In fact, if you look at most Christian churches, they have a chicken on top. That is a rooster, as a weather vane. Actually, there's a pope about 1,500 years ago who declared that the chicken should be placed on top of every steeple in Christendom. And even on the top of Old St. Peter's, there was a rooster that crowed people into church to awake them spiritually. But this is actually an old idea. Yeah. It goes back to the Zoroastrians in ancient Persia.
How was it that African-American families became so central in the poultry industry?
Well, this is one thing that I think surprised me more than anything else I discovered about the chicken industry, and that is that in the colonial South, chickens were just about the only thing that American slaves were allowed to raise, because livestock like cows or sheep or pigs were considered too important, and those were reserved for the masters, or slaves took care of them. And so over time, over a century and a half, African Americans became kind of the general chicken merchants in the South, and in part because they knew the chicken well. They came largely from West Africa, where the chicken was an essential part of daily life, both for food as well as for religious ritual.
Tell us about the chicken of tomorrow.
It's sort of like the Manhattan Project for poultry. So after World War II, the people who grew chickens got together, and they were really afraid that at the end of the war, people were going to go back to eating beef and pork, which had been largely reserved for the troops during the war. So they decided that they needed to draw on the latest in science and engineering in order to make the chicken more profitable. And they had a vast national contest. And at the end of this contest in 1951, they chose one chicken that seemed to fit the bill. And that was a chicken that could grow really fast with a minimal amount of feed and would have a large breast that Americans liked to eat. And ultimately, it proved incredibly successful.
Yeah. I have to get, as your book does in the last section, on questions about how chickens are cared for or not, I think it's fair to say, in this country. And I'm struck by a phrase from J.M. Coetzee, the great South African writer, who compares the chicken industry to the Third Reich. How do you feel about that?
Well, I went into this not really knowing much about the chicken industry or business. And as I dug into it, it became increasingly disturbing, in part because of what I was finding out about its history. Discovering that the chicken actually has this important religious aspect to it for so many cultures over so many millennia, It was particularly disturbing to discover that under U.S. law, chickens are not even considered animals if they're grown for food. So in other words, there are no regulations that say how chickens should be treated. Now, this is very different, say, from pigs or from cattle, where there are some very strict guidelines that people have to follow. But the chicken is almost considered not even alive, which after spending time talking to people about chickens around the world, I discovered that's crazy.
Yeah. Andrew Lawler, his new book, Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? Thanks so much for being with us.
It was a pleasure, Scott.